Romans 11:28 says, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies. They, it's referring here to Israel in the context of Romans 9 through 11. They are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Since October, dispensationalists and Zionist preachers have been preaching against alleged anti-Semitism. They've been using scriptures like Revelation 12 to point out the error of anti-Semitism. And what is the reality now is they are going to get more than they asked for, because the preaching of the New Testament gospel is now going to be classified as anti-Semitism. Dispensationalists will often teach, as far as Genesis 12 verses 1 through 3, that this refers to blessing Israel. Genesis 12 verse 1 says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, notice Abram, not unto Israel, get thee, that's a singular pronoun, thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Thee is a singular pronoun in the King James Bible. Because we've gone to the modern Bibles, we've lost the singular and plural pronouns that explain so much of Scripture. And I will make of thee a great nation. Make of Abram, Abraham. And I will bless thee, singular, talking about Abraham here, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, not Israel, Abram, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So as these dispensationalists and Zionists have been urging us to bless Israel so that our nation can be blessed, we are now going to be at a point where in America we can no longer preach the gospel without legal action. These preachers are now getting their wish. Congress on May 1, the House of Representatives violated the First Amendment. Since we're needing a reminder of that, so many cases here, let me remind you what the First Amendment says. And let me just say this, I do not believe the First Amendment of the Constitution is what gives us our rights of free speech. It is what protects our God-given right of free speech. But now it is under attack like never before. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Okay, think about this. An establishment of religion, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, Islam, whatever the case may be, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. On May 1st, the House of Representatives passed, in violation of the First Amendment, H.R. 6090. It passed in the House of Representatives 320-91, breaking it down by Republicans and Democrats. Republicans 187-21. Democrats 133, and 70 Democrats said no. It's very interesting, more Democrats said no to this bill than even Republicans that are supposedly in support of the Constitution of the United States of America. The Senate bill, 4127, called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2024, is sponsored by Senator Tim Scott. He's a Republican from South Carolina. It was first introduced in October of 2023, but this act of 2024 was introduced by Senator Scott on April 16, 2024. And again, it's Senate Bill 4127. Now, as far as the House bill that passed, H.R. 6090, Representative Thomas Massie of Kentucky said this: the bill has a problem beyond violating the First Amendment. The definition of anti-Semitism appears nowhere in the bill. So what are we talking about here as far as H.R. 6090, in case you have not seen this in the news? Obviously, they're not going to present it the way I see it here today. But H.R. 6090 and Senate Bill 4127 are going to emphasize these things. This is an act to provide for the consideration of a definition of anti-Semitism set forth by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance for the enforcement of federal anti-discrimination laws concerning education programs or activities and for other purposes. Be it attached by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. Again, we're talking about Congress not making a law that establishes a religion or prohibits the free exercise thereof or hinders free speech. Section 1, short title. This act may be cited as the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2023. Again, this is the House of Representatives bill. Section 2, sense of Congress. It is the sense of Congress that Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, and national origin in programs and activities receiving federal financial assistance. Second point under this point, while such title does not cover discrimination based solely on religion, individuals who face discrimination based on actual or perceived, notice that perceived shared ancestry, or ethnic characteristics do not lose protection under such title for also being members of a group that share a common religion. Third point, discrimination against Jews may give rise to a violation of such title when the discrimination is based on race, color, or national origin, which can include discrimination based on actual or perceived shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics. Fourth point, it is the policy of the United States to enforce such title against prohibited forms of discrimination rooted in anti-Semitism as vigorously as against all other forms of discrimination prohibited by such title. And, number five, as noted in the U.S. National Strategy to Counter Anti-Semitism issued by the White House on May 25, 2023, it is critical to A, increase awareness and understanding of anti-Semitism, including its threat to America. B, improve safety and security for Jewish communities. C, to reverse the normalization of anti-Semitism and counter anti-Semitic discrimination. And D, expand communication and collaboration between communities. Section 3, findings. Congress finds the following. Number one, anti-Semitism is on the rise in the United States and is impacting Jewish students in K-12 schools, colleges, and universities. And let me just pause there. I believe that there are some things that are fueling this to make this possible and justified. Number two, under findings, section three findings. Number two, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, referred to in this act as the IHRA, working definition of anti-Semitism is a vital tool which helps individuals understand and identify the various manifestations of anti-Semitism. Three, under section three findings. On December 11, 2019, there's an executive order that was signed by Donald Trump. Executive Order 13899 extended protections against discrimination under the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to individuals subjected to anti-Semitism on college and university campuses and tasked federal agencies to consider the IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism when enforcing Title VI of such act. Number four, since 2018, the Department of Education, notice that, the Department of Education has used the IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism when investigating violations of that Title VI. Number five, the use of alternative definitions of anti-Semitism impairs enforcement efforts by adding multiple standards and may fail to identify many of the modern manifestations of anti-Semitism. Number six, the White House released the first ever United States National Strategy to Counter Anti-Semitism on May 25, 2023, making clear that the fight against this hate is a national bipartisan priority that must be successfully conducted through a whole of government and society approach. Section four, definitions. For purposes of this act, the term definition of anti-Semitism, one, means the definition of anti-Semitism adopted on May 26, 2016 by the IHRA, of which the United States is a member, which definition has been adopted by the Department of State. And number two, includes the contemporary examples of anti-Semitism identified in the IHRA definition. Section five, rule of construction for Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I'm reading through this on purpose. You'll catch this in a moment. Section 5, Rule of Construction for Title 6 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. In reviewing, investigating, and deciding whether there has been a violation of Title 6 of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 on the basis of race, color, or national origin, based on an individual's actual or perceived shared Jewish ancestry or Jewish ethnic characteristics, the Department of Education, did you notice that again? The Department of Education shall take into consideration the definition of anti-Semitism as part of the department's assessment of whether the practice was motivated by anti-Semitic intent. Section 6, other rules of construction. General rule of construction, nothing in this act shall be construed to expand the authority of the Secretary of Education to alter the standards pursuant to which the Department of Education makes a determination that harassing conduct amounts to actionable discrimination, or 3, to diminish or infringe upon the rights protected under any other provision of law that is in effect as of the date of enactment of this act. Section B here, constitutional protections. Nothing in this act shall be construed to diminish or infringe upon any right protected under the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Passed the House of Representatives May 1, 2024. And let me add a note to that. Nothing in this act shall be construed to diminish or infringe upon any right protected under the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. It has already infringed upon it. It is already going to be used and is being used to deter freedom of speech, and so on. So, since that's mentioned in that being the standard, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance working definitions of anti-Semitism, I believe we need to be reminded. I mentioned this in a prior study on this issue, but the IHRA working definitions of anti-Semitism are as follows. In fact, it's to include the following contemporary examples of anti-Semitism in public life, the media, schools, the workplace, and in the religious sphere could, taking into account the overall context, include but are not limited to, here's 11 statements. Number one, calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing of or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view of religion. Now, I'm going to pause there for just a moment. I believe very strongly, and I'm going to emphasize this later as well, I believe very strongly we need to make a distinction between murder, the killing of a person, and anti-Semitism. Because anti-Semitism, in this example here of the IHRA, anti-Semitism is being used in a broad sense to include everything. Everything that is perceived to be anti-Semitism. Number two, making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing or stereotypical allegations about Jews as such or the power of Jews as collective, such as, especially but not exclusively, notice it's broad open wide here, not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. Number three, accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even for acts committed by non-Jews. Number four, denying the fact, scope, mechanisms, an example given here in the wording is gas chambers, or intentionality of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during World War II, the Holocaust. That is given as an example of anti-Semitism. Number five, accusing the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Number six, accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations. Number seven, denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination. In other words, by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. Number eight, applying double standards by requiring of it a behavior not expected or demanded of any other democratic nation. Number nine, listen carefully to this one, using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, Examples given in parenthesis, claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel, to characterize Israel or Israelis. Number 10, drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. Number 11, holding Jews collectively responsible for actions of the state of Israel. Now, this is another statement that is actually in the introduction to this list. I want to read this because it's separated from the actual list. The following is not on the list. This is a part of the introduction. Here's the statement. Manifestations might include the targeting of the state of Israel, conceived as a Jewish collectivity. However, criticism of Israel, similar to that leveled against any other country, cannot be regarded as anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitism frequently charges Jews with conspiring to harm humanity, and it is often used to blame Jews for why things go wrong. It is expressed in speech, writing, visual forms, and action, and employs sinister stereotypes and negative character traits. I want you to consider here, as far as this statement that I just finished reading, I want you to consider, as far as these bills in Congress, they are codifying into law this list and more. Because again, I emphasize that does not say that it was an exhaustive list. So what else is going to be on the list of anti-Semitism? I want you to consider with me some passages of Scripture beyond the one that I introduced in Romans 11:28, some passages of Scripture that will become anti-Semitic in the next few weeks and months as these bills continue working now through the Senate. Number one, Old Testament prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, various Old Testament prophets would be considered anti-Semitic because of their message against Israel. Matthew 27. Remember I mentioned in point number 9, using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, in other words, claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel, to characterize Israel or Israelis. Matthew 27, verse 20 and following. So here's where we're at. So these preachers who have been wanting all of these things to put into law, protection against, guarding against anti-Semitism, here's now what they're going to get. They're no longer going to be able to preach from Matthew 27, verses 20 through 25, so they might as well remove it from their King James Bible. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Notice the chief priests and elders of Israel, leaders of the Jews. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what will I do then with Jesus? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on all our children. Wow, that sounds like killing Jesus and blood libel. Another passage that will no longer be permitted in Baptist pulpits is Mark 15, verses 7 through 4. Mark chapter 15, verses 7 through 4. Again, all of these passages, we might as well tear them out of our Bibles now because we're not going to be able to preach on the crucifixion anymore. That's very interesting. Remember, they're enemies for the gospel's sake. That's what Romans 11 says. Mark 15, verses 7 and following. There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So here we have a murderer. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. In relation to Pilate, but Pilate answered them, saying, What will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Obviously a reference to Jesus Christ. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. We need to tear that page out of the King James Bible. We can no longer preach that passage. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Again, all of these passages fit into the IHRA guidelines. John chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Notice, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him. This is honest history. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. John chapter 10, verse 31. John chapter 10, verse 31. Verse 30 says, I and my Father are one. This is the context where Jesus talks about, My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And literally, he says, I and my Father are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are equal members of the triune Godhead. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. That will no longer be preachable in Baptist pulpits here very soon. John 11, verse 8. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Very clearly, we see references to the Jews wanting to kill Jesus. All right, so what about Peter and the apostles of the early church at Jerusalem and the other churches as they spread out from there? But in particular here, notice as far as Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. You men of Israel, hear these words. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. We're going to have to stop preaching this now. All the Pentecost Sunday outreaches that churches have, these large church campaigns, no longer can they do that because of the desire that these preachers have had to legislate against anti-Semitism. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye, he's addressing the ones who crucified him, crucified Jesus, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Again, all of these passages are no longer legal for preaching in pulpits of Bible-preaching churches as soon as these laws are placed in official status once they get through the Senate. Chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Can't preach that anymore. Verse 10 of chapter 4. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. That is no longer going to be illegal as far as the House of Representatives is concerned. That is no longer a legal verse to preach from Baptist pulpits. Chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. How many more do we need to see that there's a problem going on here in America? Acts 5, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Verse 25. Then came and told them, saying, Behold, they're asking the soldiers to bring the apostles. It says, Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, They set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. This a similar statement like this is going to be made in courts all over America here very soon. Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name, the name of Jesus? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and notice this blood libel, intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So do we need anything else? So another passage, another verse here in Acts chapter 7, verse 52. In fact, verse 51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, obvious reference to Jesus Christ, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. What about the New Testament epistles? I've already mentioned Romans 11:28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. You might as well use a black marker and mark that out, because it won't be long and preachers will not be able to mention that phrase in Romans chapter 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 14 through 16. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Notice the Bible specifically says of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. Notice this, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. I often say this in relation to this passage. We want the uttermost of Hebrews chapter 7, but we don't want to preach the uttermost that is found here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Wrath has come upon unbelieving Israel, rebellious Israel, to the uttermost. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They've crucified the Lord of glory. Of course, Revelation 2 verse 9 and chapter 3 verse 9, might as well remove those from our Bibles. We might as well cross them out, because we can't preach those anymore, because it speaks of them that say they are Jews and are not, but they are a synagogue of Satan. So what is the penalty for anti-Semitism? Based on this law that has now been passed in the House and is now heading to the Senate. So what is the penalty for anti-Semitism? The reason why I read the entire bill from the House of Representatives is this. This is the reason why I went through. I was not wasting time. I was not filling recording time on this commentary. Did you catch that there is no punishment mentioned in that legislation? No punishment was mentioned. So are there fines? Is there jail time, prison time? Is it the death penalty? I want you to consider that the Department of Education, something else that I emphasized in that reading, the Department of Education apparently is the one who's going to have a part in determining these things, at least as far as schools and campuses. So what about jail time? Texas Governor Greg Abbott in April, all over the news, University of Texas in Austin, Texas went full militant police state in suppressing pro-Palestinian protests. He declared that anti-Semitic college students belong in jail. Here's the tweet that he had on X. Arrests being made right now, and I will continue until the crowd disperses. These protesters belong in jail. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. Students joining in hate-filled anti-Semitic protests at any public college or university in Texas should be expelled. End of quote from X. There were 57 arrests made from what I saw in the news. 26 were not even affiliated with the college. I've read articles saying that George Soros and others apparently are funding the stirring up of these things on these campuses. The Texas Department of Public Safety was sent to break up the protesters. Now, let me give you a little bit of context of this. On June 9, 2019, Governor Abbott signed an executive order, and this was the statement that he made in relation to the signing of that executive order. Some colleges are banning free speech on college campuses. Well, no more, because I'm about to sign a law that protects free speech on college campuses in Texas. As he signs it, he says, shouldn't have to do it because the First Amendment guarantees it. It's law in Texas. So it was law in Texas until pro-Palestinian protesters started practicing their First Amendment rights at the University of Texas and other schools. Something else to put it in context. A press release, May 2, 2017. This press release issued by the office of Governor Abbott said, anti-Israel policies are anti-Texas policies. Another context. October 9, 2023, Governor Abbott vows unwavering support for Israel amid act of war. Of course, a reference to Hamas. In March, Governor Abbott ordered colleges to revise their free speech policies. Interesting, in March, before the April uprising. November 2nd, 2023, Abbott traveled to Israel for the third time since 2015. So here's the point that we see in his actions. There's free speech until it comes to someone who is perceived to be anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. What's very interesting is the Texas Tribune on April 29th said this: Governor Greg Abbott and UT Austin shift from championing free speech to policing protesters' intentions. That headline from the Texas Tribune, April 29. But it's also very interesting to give you context, is the Austin Police Department has collaborated with the Anti-Defamation League, often referred to as the ADL, to monitor extremists and investigate crimes committed by them. Law enforcement, there's law enforcement training that has been going on in police departments, across America. It goes by the letters that spell out LEARN, L-E-A-R-N. L-E-A-R-N stands for Law Enforcement Agency Resource Network. It's a coordination in relation to a national counterterrorism seminar in Israel. These are Israeli-trained police departments here in America. I also learned of a man named Rob Hamick, or Hamick, Hamick, I think is how you say his name. An organization called Israeli Combat Shooting. Rob Hamick trained the Austin Police Department. Very interesting as you consider these things. But also, in addition to jail time, prison, I want you to consider it's possible that they want people to be silenced. In 1932, there was a Jewish Talmudic scholar named Dr. Michael Higger who made this statement. This all aligns with their teachings from the Babylonian Talmud and the Zohar teachings of Kabbalah. There will be no tolerance. Did you catch that statement? There will be no tolerance of speaking out against the synagogue of Satan. All who do will be silenced, some forever. This is no joke. If they continue, things will get much worse in the near future. That was said back in 1932. Listen carefully to this recorded audio from Donald Trump.
Before going any further, I want to address the horrible shooting that took place earlier today. The hearts of all Americans are filled with grief following the monstrous killing of Jewish Americans at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You've all seen it. You've been watching it. It's horrible. The suspect is in custody. The federal authorities are on the scene and leading an aggressive federal investigation. State and local law enforcement has been incredible. This evil anti-Semitic attack is an assault on all of us. It's an assault on humanity. It will require all of us working together to extract the hateful poison of anti-Semitism from our world. This was an anti-Semitic attack at its worst. The scourge of anti-Semitism cannot be ignored, cannot be tolerated, and it cannot be allowed to continue. We can't allow it to continue. It must be confronted and condemned everywhere it rears its very ugly head. We must stand with our Jewish brothers and sisters to defeat anti-Semitism and vanquish the forces of hate. That's what it is. Through the centuries, the Jews have endured terrible persecution, and you know that. We've all read it. We've studied it. They've gone through a lot. And those seeking their destruction, we will seek their destruction. Now, when you have crimes like this, whether it's this one or another one on another group, we have to bring back the death penalty. They have to pay the ultimate price. They have to pay the ultimate price. They can't do this. They can't do this to our country. We must draw a line in the sand and say very strongly, never again. Tonight, everyone in this arena and every citizen across the land sends our prayers to the victims and their families. We all do. We also send our gratitude to the law enforcement officers who were incredible and who risked their lives and sustained very, very serious injuries during this horrible attack. We salute the heroes of American law enforcement. We always do. We always do. We know how much we appreciate them. And yet they're underappreciated. They have done such an incredible job for so long, and it's a tough job. We see it now. We see it now, maybe like we've never seen it before. And this is the time to renew the bonds of love and loyalty that hold us all together as Americans. These bonds have always sustained our nation in its hour of need. You know that. Everybody here knows that. And they are always more powerful than the forces of hatred and division, anger and evil. In America, we love our families, we love our neighbors, and we protect our community. We trust in God. We protect the freedom of worship. And we believe in the power of prayer. We defend our Constitution. We defend our heritage. And we rally around our great American flag like nobody does. All of us here tonight are united by these same American values, and we are all fighting to defend these values in this election. This is a very, very important election.
That statement made by Donald Trump was in a campaign rally back in 2018, the evening of the Philadelphia Jewish synagogue shooting. I agree with Donald Trump, that was a terrible act. But I want you to think carefully about what he said. In fact, I encourage you to go back and re-listen to it to make sure you understand what he's saying. Think about what he said. He called for the death penalty for anti-Semitism, not for murder. And I want to prove that to you by giving you a little bit of background history. The federal death penalty was reinstated in 1988. Donald Trump made it sound like the death penalty was not in place to care for an act like happened in 2018. On December 11, 2019, there's a statement here that was made, listen carefully, Trump's dangerous executive order on anti-Semitism. Instead of addressing threats to Jewish communities, the order silences criticism of Israeli policy and violates the right to free speech. That was a statement made December 11, 2019, the American Friends Service Committee out of Philadelphia. If you will do an honest study of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, you will see very clearly, now I'm not talking about revised history here, you will see very clearly that the plan in America is well underway, the same as what happened 100 years ago in Russia. Preachers and churches now must decide. Are they going to preach the whole counsel of God, including the verses and others that I mentioned in this study? Or are they going to abide by the wishes that they have been wanting for our nation to so stand with Israel that nothing negative ever be said about Israel, regardless of what they do, even if it's the Word of God? May we be discerning in these last days.